Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 50. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 50. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 50 reads this way. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and Lord, calling upon you and your promise to answer. And so we ask for your blessing of the Holy Spirit, that he might guide us to hear from you tonight. And Lord, that you might be glorified and our lives blessed, and truly, Lord, that we might be the light and the salt of the earth that you've called us to be by your grace and your mercy. And we'll give you all the praise for that. We also ask, Lord, that you would bless us as a church to be the witness you've called us to be into the whole world. And Lord, we ask that you would prepare our hearts also for revival upcoming here in the month of October. But Lord, that we might seek you even now and hear from you. And Lord, that again, you might be glorified and our lives drawn closer to you, and that we might hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Bless the message tonight and the time together. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The title of the message tonight is, Thou Shalt See Greater Things Than These. Do you like that?
Amen.
That's God's promise. That's not my promise. Amen. That's God's promise. Thou shalt see greater things than these. God has always been in the business of encouraging and building our faith in him. That's God's business. That's what he is about from the very beginning to the end. God has always been the author and the finisher of our faith. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? So tonight we want to take a few moments to see God's work in his disciples. That's us. Are you a disciple tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ? God wants to show you his work and his blessing in your life and mine. So back up with me, if you will. Look at verse 35. And we want to take a look at a couple of things. And that is that, first of all, God gets our attention. That's the very first thing. That begins with salvation. But not only for salvation, but as a child of God, God gets our attention that tells us he wants to take us further into the green pastures. He wants to take us closer and nearer and dearer to the heart of God. He wants us to experience him in a great way. And then secondly, God gives us a testimony of the Lord's work in our lives. Not just a verbal witness or testimony, but a work of the grace of God in your life and mine. And so we'll take notice of that. And then, of course, Jesus is the builder of our faith. So first of all, look with me in verse 35. And that is that God first gets our attention. Verse 35 reads this way. It says, again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. Take notice. Right? So these disciples were there, and then now all of a sudden, this is a new thing. This is, behold the Lamb of God. God wants us to take notice. God wants to reveal to you and I in a powerful way our Savior to your life and mine. So he's wanting them to behold. Notice this, verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, let's just look at that just for a moment. And the two disciples heard him speak. They heard the Son of God. They heard the Savior speak. And notice, and they followed Jesus. They heard the message of God. Amen. And it moved them to follow the Savior. Does God work the same yesterday, today, and forever? And so, listen, we have to hear from the Lord, and that is the driving force. That will be the driving force in your life and mine to follow the Savior, because God calls us to follow him. He says, follow me, does he not? And so the Lord has to be out in front, so we have to have the right perspective in our relationship with the Lord. Is it possible that we can get out in front of the Lord or not even have sight of God as a saved child of God? Is that possible? Can we get so busy in life that the only time that we call upon the Lord is like Martha did and say, Lord, don't you care? Mary's left me here to serve alone. Bid her that she come and help me. And what did the Lord say? Martha, Martha. Amen? Amen? Why, there's truth to that, isn't there? Right? We get so busy doing this, that, and the other, and the Lord's saying, you see your sister Mary? All these other things are good, but she's chosen the best thing. You know why? Because she's hearing from God. There's a lot of things that need to be taken care of, but not before our business with God. Because if we don't seek God first, if we don't seek God early, we will be cumbered, loaded down with a lot of good serving and miss God. And remember again, when the disciples heard, and notice, behold the Lamb of God, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. We've got to hear from the Lord first. And so God wants us to hear from him, and we've got to be careful that we're hearing from him, because that's what will compel us to really follow the Lord. We have to personally, does God want to speak to you and I through his word? You cannot tell that to the world. If you told a lost person, God speaks to me through his word, can they understand that? No, they will think that there's something going on that we might need some attention or some help with, because they don't understand the way that God works. But to those of us who know the Lord as our Savior, we know that he has given to us the free pardon of sin. We've experienced, we've had an encounter with God that they know nothing about. And God is the one that is the revealer of all the important things of life. God is the one that gives purpose to life. Without God, there really is no purpose. It's just a mere existence. I heard somebody who professed to be an atheist. Now, I will tell you, this is my personal belief, okay? I don't believe in atheists. I don't believe they exist. They would like to say there's no God, but somewhere along the line, the Bible teaches that when they glorified God not as God, that God gave them over to this foolish kind of thinking. And so they would like to think, and somebody else I heard was debating and said, well, then you don't really even believe in that. Because why do you, and by the way, the person that was an atheist was a highly secular, non-religious, educated individual. And they were so smart, and they said that you don't really believe that. Otherwise, why do you hold, if it's just a mere existence and there's no purpose, why do you hold the degrees that you have? If you really believed that all the things that we do are for nothing, why do anything at all? Why do anything at all? No, listen, we have been embedded in our souls with the truth that God truly does exist, and that there is a rhyme and that there is a reason, whether we receive it or not, a purpose to life. It's found in God. And so they're running on, they don't even realize they're denying the very existence of God by going out and trying to do something and further themselves and be productive. That is something that has been put into us by the glory of God. You really can't be happy doing nothing. You really can't. God has created us to do things, to use our minds. In fact, you find a lot of times when people come to the end of life and they've given up on, they don't live very long. They don't live very long. Listen, you could take, what would you do if you had 6 months vacation or a year vacation? Somewhere along the line, you say, I mean, of doing nothing but just enjoying and just, you know, doing nothing. And eventually you're going to come to the place where you say, I've got to do something, right? I've got to do something, because that's the way God has created us. So God first gets our attention. And then notice what happens here as we consider this. Look at verse 37. The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? So let me ask you that tonight. Because God's speaking to us through his word, is he not? So here you are tonight. Why? Because you're following the Lord. All right, here's the question that the Lord asks us tonight. What are you looking for? Not a good question? What are we looking for? And what were those disciples looking for? The Savior. The Messiah. And so because they were looking for the Messiah, listen, it's don't get caught up. I hope that you would say, oh, God, give me a hunger and a thirst for you. Because when we're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise of God is that if you they that diligently seek me shall what? Shall find him. And so God wants us to seek him because he wants us to know him to a greater extent, to a greater degree. He's not wanting to just leave us in the status quo, neither here nor there. Just kind of, just mediocrity, right? Man, just getting nowhere fast. But you're not floundering, but you're not excelling. You're not accomplishing anything. Is that an exciting life? You're not accomplishing anything. Before long, you start looking at that and you say, well, what's the use? We give up. But God gives us again. He gives us this purpose. So he asks them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? That's a good thing, isn't it? Where do you dwell, Lord? Let me ask you this question. Where does God dwell today? Where does he dwell today? Well, he does dwell in heaven, doesn't he? He's at the right, the Son is at the right hand of the Father, but he also dwells in you and I. Lord, help me to understand where you dwell. Help me to understand more about heaven, more about the Heavenly Father, and more about the Spirit of God that indwells me. That's a good thing to do. So where dwellest thou? Verse 39. He saith unto them, remember, because he saw them following, then he said, what are you looking for? And they said, we want to know where you live. And so because they said that, he saith unto them, what? Verse 39. Come and see. Come and see. Does God want us to come and see tonight? He does. Does he want us to come and see tomorrow? Does he want us to come and see when the proverbial rug's been pulled out from underneath our feet? He does want us to see that, right? He does want us to see him. So he says, come and see. And guess what they did? They came and saw. That's a good thing. Let me ask you, they came and saw where he dwelt. Do you think they were a little bit excited about that? All right, now watch this. And abode with him that day. That's a good place to be. Abiding with Christ. Isn't that what the Lord said we could do with him? Abide in me, because he abides in us. And if we abide in him and Christ abides in us, we will bear fruit. And then we will bear more fruit. And then we will bear much fruit. Because if we're not abiding in him as he's abiding in us, we will bear no fruit. Amen? No fruit. We'll miss out on the joy. We'll be a saved child of God, but we won't have a testimony on our lips. We won't be able to speak about the goodness and the greatness of God because we've not called upon the Lord and we've not positioned ourselves to call upon the Lord and to experience him where we can say, oh, let me tell you what God is doing in my life. Oh, listen, let me tell you. Can we not say that today? Oh God, let me give you praise for what you have done this morning. Let me give you praise for what you've done the last week. Listen, it's a good thing to praise the Lord. And so God puts that praise on our lips. So, verse 39 again, he said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and here's the wonderful part, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. You know, God doesn't cast us out. He first gets our attention. Do you think he got the attention of these two disciples? Do you think these two disciples were glad about the attention that God was giving to them? Well, here's the good news. God wants to give us some attention too. In a very positive way, he wants to bring us closer to himself. So we see that God first gets our attention, and then secondly, I want you to notice that God gives us a testimony of our Savior. Look at verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now this is one of the two that walked with the Lord, abode with him, right? They heard the preaching of the Word of God. This is the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. And Andrew got all excited. He was one. He was one of the ones that, Lord, we want to see where you live. He says, well, then come on. Amen. And then they abode with him there. And notice the testimony. Ready? Verse 40 again. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41. And then he went home and went to sleep. Right? Is that what it says? After that, he first, listen, findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. Is that amazing? We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. So that's the Greek word for the Hebrew word. The Messiah. We have found the promise of God. Let me ask you tonight. Are you experiencing the promise of God that you've already found in salvation? God wants us to experience Him. God wants to give us praise every day. Verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. He's given him a new name. And by the way, if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's given you and I a new name, a son or a daughter of God. A joint heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, a child of the King. Isn't that something? And so listen, is it just getting better and better for them? Now, do you think they were unemployed? Do you think they didn't have any other responsibilities in this world? Do you know they were people just like you and me? You know they had all, but listen, they were happy in the Lord. And listen, life, the Bible tells us in the book of Job that the life of man is filled with trouble as the sparks fly upward. Have you ever been in a bonfire? You ever watched a fire crack, pop and snapple and whatever it does? And then you'll hear it pop, and then all of a sudden you'll see this little ash that's lit up, go up, and then all of a sudden somewhere it'll pop again and it will just break off into three or four. Job would never tell you that Christianity, that this life has no problems. It has its problems. And boy, oh boy, did he experience them. But he will tell you he would never do it without God. He would tell you he had tasted for himself the mercy and goodness and grace of God. And with all that came upon Job, he never cursed God, did he? Now, he had his wife that got in the flesh a little bit. She did. And let's not be too hard on her because we've probably been there too. And she said, now you got to understand, you know, the love of a mom. She lost all her kids. And she said, oh, Job, curse God and die. Now, and by the way, look at the mercy of God. Do you think his love changed for Job's wife one bit? No. Do you think God himself understood the heart of Job's wife? And Job's, listen, Job spoke to his wife. Now you speak as one of the silly women, one of the foolish women now. Shall we just receive good at the hand of God and not trust him when we get the difficult things? Shall we only trust God in the easy things? Now, I know, listen, that is easy preaching, but I want you to know the grace of God can come in those difficult times. And Job was able to say, my God is faithful. And you're here tonight, and you can also say that your God is faithful. Amen? And by the way, listen, where else are we going to go? Where else are we going to go? We're going to go to those intellectuals that say that there is no God? That's a wonderful existence, isn't it? Are we going to go to the world for the answers? No. The world will give you the drugs. The world will give you all the things that bring peace and happiness or more destruction. The world will bring destruction. God gives us life. Do we always understand everything that comes our way? No. But is God's word sure? Does God's word bring hope? Do you know, listen, the wonderful thing is that God is merciful and God is faithful even when we're not. Is that true? God never stopped loving Job's wife, nor Job. Do you listen, And God blessed her. I know people have made fun of it, but I am sure she was praising the Lord for another 10 kids. I'm convinced of that. And you'd say, Brother George, you've never had a child. You might think different. No, listen, I am convinced because, listen, that sorrow will pass and great joy is the result of that. That's what the Bible teaches. Ladies, tell me amen if that's not the case. Is it not worth the reward or the child that comes forth? And so here's the Lord and here are these disciples and they're following him. They're experiencing the grace of God in this testimony. And again, verse 41, he findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And notice this, verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Now listen, he had never had an encounter with the Lord before, and the Lord is telling him about himself. Do you know one of the neatest things that you will find out is God will reveal the true us. He will. And we will see his true kindness. Listen, we would like to think better of ourselves, but in comparison to the Lord, really, I can say like David, Lord, who am I? Who am I that you gave me your son to give me eternal life? I surely didn't deserve it. And so God gave this wonderful blessing. Notice else what happens here. So verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. This is getting good. Who found Philip? Isn't that amazing? Who found you? This is not the right thing. There's no problem in saying this, all right? There's no problem in saying this. When you get saved, we like to say this, I found God. Well, that's true to a certain sense, isn't it? I found the Lord. But the truth is, he found me. He found me. God was never lost. I'm lost. I'm the one that was lost. God was the one that found me. And it was, I never would have told you as a young person in my early 20s that I'm going to find God May 8th, 1987 at 9 o'clock at night in my car talking to somebody I befriended that I was training. I would have never dreamed that up in a million years. In fact, if you would have told me that I would be content to preach the word of God and blessed to preach the word of God as a lost person, I would say, you've got to be out of your living mind. Amen. I'd say, there's no way. Oh, but listen, when we meet Jesus, he makes all the difference in the world. And so, Jesus finds us. And so again, verse 43 says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And so what does Philip do? Well, then he says, well, thank you, Lord, for finding me. I'll go home now. Right? No. Jesus, when he said, follow me, Jesus gave Philip a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Look at verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael. This is after the Lord says, follow me. In verse 43. So you don't find the Lord saying, now you go get Nathanael. See, listen, when God is at work, we are going to be energized. And we are going to be moved to do things for God. You remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? Remember them? And then they had that encounter with the Lord, and they called him to come on in. It's getting late. Come on in and eat with us. And then all of a sudden, he reveals himself to them. And they didn't say, let's just go to sleep, and tomorrow we'll go find the other disciples. You know, it's about 5.5-6 miles back there. No, they couldn't wait to go back and tell them what great things. Listen, is our God the same yesterday, today, and forever? God wants to do a work that will burn in our hearts and compel us to tell people about the wonderful grace of God. And so what happens here? Verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him who Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Did they know who he was? They did. They did know who he was. But listen, you've got to remember this now. Do you remember when the scribes and the Pharisees would have battle with the Lord, verbal battle, and they couldn't think of anything to say to the Lord? And at one time they say, "We be not born of fornication," implying that he was born out of wedlock. Was that the truth? No. Listen, these people right here, they knew his earthly father, stepfather, but there was no shame there. Why? Because they understood that the Savior, why? Because it was written, listen, in the Old Testament, that he would be born of a virgin. And so all of a sudden, the truth of the Word of God began to light up in their hearts and in their minds. The more we study the Word of God, the more truths, the more we call upon God, the more truths God will illuminate to our understanding. We do ourselves a disservice to approach the Word of God not expecting to hear from God. We're back to the same place where I told you that story. I'll just make it quick here of Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, who had a pastor's college, and a pastor came and saw him and said, "Well, I'm not seeing people get saved. I'm going out and telling them about the Lord, and I'm not seeing much take place." And he said, "Well, you don't expect people to be saved every time you tell them." He said, "Well, no." And then he said to him, "Well, that's why. You're not expecting it. How do you approach the Word of God?" "Well, I just need to read a chapter a day because I'm going to keep the devil away." Is that what the Bible says, why we should read the Word of God? "Well, because it's my duty, or that I might hear from God." Because the Bible says that, listen, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? So when we read the Word of God, we ought to come with an expectant heart that God is going to build our faith. How is he going to build our faith? By illuminating the truth to us that will make our hearts burn. When the Lord walked with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and after he departed, didn't they say, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he opened up to us the scriptures?" Is our God the same? Is he the same in your life? He wants to be. He wants to be. Come with a believing heart. And it's okay to say, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Did that man receive a blessing? You will, and I will too. So notice. So here's Philip, and he's coming to Nathanael. Look at verse 45 again. "Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him," now listen, Nathanael hasn't seen the Lord yet. He's got a different outlook on things. Now notice, and by the way, understanding the scriptures. "And Nathanael said unto him, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Now where was Nathanael's mind? He maybe thought that Jesus was born in where's that place at? Nazareth. Or right? Yeah. "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And so Philip saith unto him, what? "Come and see. Come and see." You know what that tells me? Listen, you can talk to people till we're blue in the face, but until they see Jesus, they won't understand. So here I've got this guy witnessing to me about the Lord Jesus Christ. My first impression was I heard it before. And I tell you, I told him, "I'm not interested. Not interested. I was not interested at all." Why? Because when I was 20 or 21, I made that little prayer. Somebody approached me and I want to go to heaven. I didn't see myself as a bad person. Compared to Jesus, okay, I'm a bad person, but I'm not really bad at all. I don't look to hurt anybody. No, I was a sinner destined to split hell wide open. And after a couple of weeks of this fella opening up the scriptures, and all of a sudden I got an interest. All of a sudden, God redirected my want to. And I was hearing the truth. I liked what I was hearing. Then one day, God convicted me of my sin. And here was my prayer, real spiritual. "Jesus, help me. Save me." I think that's what it was. And he did. Because I understood my condemnation. And how did I understand that? God brought it to light in my life. And from that moment on, I became a Jesus fanatic. That's what the world would like to call me, a Jesus fanatic. I'd rather be a Jesus fanatic than any other kind of fanatic. And everybody is a fanatic about something. What is a fanatic? They're a fan of something, aren't they? Huh? There are people that will tell you everything, and I'm not saying this is wrong. There are people that will tell you everything that there is about sports. I'm not saying that that's wrong, but I'd rather know more about Jesus. There are people that will tell you all kinds of things about Hollywood. Anyway, we'll move on from there. That's just becoming more and more of a cesspool than anything else. And it doesn't even hold a candle to my Jesus. Amen? And your Jesus. So, again, verse 46, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. That is the old, listen, you're not going to argue anybody into heaven. They've got to see Jesus. Amen? They've got to pursue the Lord. But why will they pursue the Lord? Well, let's look at Philip. Philip, verse 45, findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him. Well, do you think he was a little bit excited? Do you think he approached Nathanael and said, Nathanael, you know that Moses guy in the Bible? He said something about a Messiah. I think something there back over here, we found him. No. Jesus was so real. He was so excited. And no doubt, Nathanael was looking and seeing the genuine zeal from the Lord. See, listen, what people need to see is Jesus. And God wants to fill us up with himself that the world might see who? Jesus. And get excited. And so he's saying, you got to come. You got to come. Man, listen, I will just tell you this. I appreciate the involvement of our congregation. And I'm not trying to pat us on the back. I think we are worshiping God. Do you believe me? I believe, listen, when you respond, you're not doing it because I'm making you do it. You're doing it because you're agreeing with the Word of God and you're worshiping. When we were singing this morning and tonight, did we do it to listen to ourselves sing or for the glory of God, to praise and listen? And so when people come in, they will sense whether, have you not ever gone to some so-called church and it's like, oh my goodness, it's like death. It's like so ritualistic and so dry. Why? Because Jesus isn't there. Because Jesus is not there. Listen, you don't see Jesus on the cross, do you? Because he's risen. Because he's alive, and he lives in you and me. And so here's the life of Christ inside Philip, and he's saying, you got to come. You got to come and see. Look, again, verse 46, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. I think he was a little excited when he told him that. And notice, so where's Nathanael at? Well, Jesus saw Nathanael what? Coming. Jesus, listen, at a distance he entered into the presence of God and God began to speak to him. He blessed. Now listen, did Nathanael have faith in what Philip was saying? Not a lot. Can there be any good thing that comes out of Nazareth? He had enough faith to come and see. Did God know that? He didn't wait for him to come up to him. He saw that little bit of faith at a distance and started talking to him. Now watch this. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. Do you know that God will bless your life and mine if he sees us coming to him? And saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Now listen, this is an important testimony because you're going to see what Nathanael says here in verse 48. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Now get this scene. Philip did not say one word to the Lord because they're approaching the Lord. Now maybe by this time they're right in front of him, but Philip has not said one word about where he found him. And what does the Lord say to him? Before that Philip called thee. He even knows that. You remember when Philip... Now, how did he know? Because he's God. How did he know it was Philip? When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Did this make an impression on Nathanael? So God gave Philip a testimony of the Lord that affected Nathanael's doubt. Isn't that something? God wants to give you and I a testimony that will help a fellow believer's doubt. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Did you get that? Jesus brings faith. Faith comes by the word of God, by hearing the word. And the word is right in front of him. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Now remember what he said before. Where did he think he came from? Nazareth. Nazareth. You couldn't tell him any different now. Jesus didn't say, oh, I was born in Bethlehem to him. No. Did he believe the word of God about Jesus? Jesus didn't even have to tell him. Listen, Nathanael had no doubt that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Had no doubt because he knew thou art, that you are the Savior of Israel. You are the King of Israel. Thou art the Son of God. And by the way, that's a powerful statement. Because that was considered blasphemous. But what gave him that clear understanding? God. Thou art the Son of God. Now, I want you to see that Jesus is the builder of our faith. Now watch this. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? This is not a reprimand. This is a buckle up, hold on to your seat. We're going places. Because you made the right move in the right direction. And you're looking to the right power source. Now watch this. He says, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Now, forgive me for saying this. If you and I were God, and we're not, don't, never, all right, okay? We would like to say, well, if you would have believed, right? Just like Peter, when the Lord said, cast out your nets for a great, remember he's fishing all night? Oh, Lord. Jesus said, you look at that, Luke chapter 5, let down your nets. That's what Jesus said, plural. He let down one net. And God gave him so many fish in his boat that his boat began to sink. He had to call for his other partners to come help him with the great catch of fishes. And what did that do for Peter? He fell down on his knees before the Lord. And he said, depart from me, for I'm a wicked man, O Lord. And he said, fear not, Peter. I'm getting ready to do something with you. Do you know what that tells me? Listen, that when we come before the Lord and say, oh God, forgive me for my lack of faith, God says, fear not, I'm getting ready to do something with you. And so he says, thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. God wants to show us some amazing things if we'll just approach him by faith. Saying, God, your word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your promise is to your people that we'll see greater things than what we've seen up to this point. Does God want to show us greater things than what we've experienced up to this point? How about this? Would you like to see the power of God in your life? This is what we do, right? Would you like to see God saving a lot of souls and them being baptized and decided? Would you like to see God bless Northwood Baptist Church in such a way that we outgrow this building? And genuinely so, because souls are important. But oh, wait. That's not the way God works. We just saw the way God works. God wants to bless your life and mine. God wants to give us such a testimony that it's believable. And if for that to happen, we just can't say, well, I'm supposed to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that the testimony these guys had? Listen, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, I'm convinced that these disciples experienced the same thing. Their hearts burned so much that Philip needed to go tell, what's his name? Nathaniel. Oh, what's his name? Right? Brother Hootenanny, Sister Hootenanny, had to go tell somebody. God wants to give us such a witness that we've got to go tell somebody. So God wants to bless our lives first. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with saying, oh yes, that God might fill up our church with the souls of souls that are saved and baptized and discipled for His honor and glory. There's nothing wrong with that. But the way that God works is He wants our hearts to burn for Him. It's the way it works. Don't get the cart before the horse. We're so busy. Here, listen, the church today is trying to figure out how to get more people in. It's what the church is trying to do. Are they consulting the Word of God? No, they're saying, well, maybe if we paint our ceiling black, throw up a bunch of psychedelic lights, and have people come up in casual dress and sing, we'll draw a crowd. Well, if a crowd is all we're looking for, let's just call up some rock band and cater a bunch of food. You'll fill it up for a day, spend a lot of money, but what will be the after results of it? They won't come back. They won't be back. Because that's not the way the Lord works. But the way God works is He wants to give you and I a testimony that burns within us, that the world will see. Listen, these disciples, if you'll consider our text, didn't come up with some kind of gimmick. They didn't come up with some kind of promotion. They came with what God gave them. God wants to give us something that the world will see that makes a difference in our life first, that will draw them to the Lord. And that is the Spirit of Christ working in them. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus is the builder of our faith. So tonight, God gives us an invitation. He's already said it. Come and follow me. Let go of what you think and look to me. And call upon me. And He says, I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We haven't gotten to the end or even halfway to what God wants to show us, have we? Will we ever get halfway? Are we even 1%? We sell God short sometimes. Oh, God has so many good things. And all He's saying is, seek me first and my righteousness, and I'll give you all the things that you need. Would you stand with me as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word and for Your truth. And Lord, for Your mercy and for Your grace. I pray, oh God, that You would do a work in our hearts, that we might truly experience the promises of God, that our hearts might burn for You, and that You would give us a testimony that would cause people to say, I'm going to come and look into this, and that they would find You. Bless the invitation, Lord. May You empower Your church for Your honor and glory, and we'll give You all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.